Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your Game Master. For the past couple of weeks, we've been trying to put together a special holiday episode for you guys. Unfortunately, this episode has been plagued with issues. Scheduling issues, equipment issues, and, in one instance, actual plague. Even though it's late, we finally managed to record the first episode of our Hanukkah special. And we couldn't think of a better way to celebrate the Festival of Lights than with a good old-fashioned game of Deadlands Noir. In this episode, I'm actually not your game master. I'm going to be taking on the role of a player. The session is actually going to be run by regular contributor Kat Murphy. She prepared her own beautiful introduction to the system, so I'm going to let her handle that. Before we start, I want to remind everyone that we're working hard here at One Shot to grow our listenership. If you like the show, you can help us out by leaving us a rating and review on iTunes. The more we get, the easier it is for people to find the show. You can also like us on Facebook, send us a tweet at OneShotRPG, or just contact me directly at jamesdamatoasmagic@gmail.com. Also, if you wanted to post about us on your Facebook wall or one of your favorite RPG forums, I would be super, super grateful. With all that out of the way, let's get into the show.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another episode of One Shot. I'm your Game Master, Kat Murphy. Today, we're playing one of my favorite systems, Deadlands Noir. Savage Worlds is a system that allows you to play pretty much anything, anywhere, anywhen. That's what Deadlands runs in these days. It was originally a system put out by the Pinnacle Entertainment Group, and traditionally takes place in the Weird West, which is an alternate history United States, where the South seceded, California sank beneath the ocean, and a mysterious new mega-fuel called Ghost Rock has drastically amped up technologies to make the system decidedly steampunk, just cowboys instead of Victorian fops. Something I really love about the Deadlands system is that it's typically set around a single year. At the game's start, it was 1876. Then when Savage Worlds picked it up and released it as Deadlands Reloaded, it was 77 or 78. However, as much as I love doing that, I've always kind of wanted to play Deadlands past that date. And recently through Kickstarter, Savage Worlds was able to make that possible through a game we're playing today, Deadlands Noir. Specifically, we're playing in the year 1928 in Chicago. All of that said, let's meet our players. First up, a familiar voice to all of you, hopefully.
I should hope, yeah.
Hi, James.
Hey,
why don't you introduce
Kat.
Yourself?
That's so weird hearing that. I'm James. I'm from this little podcast we do called One Shot.
Oh, why don't you tell me about that?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. There's this person, Kat Murphy, on it. She's a little obnoxious sometimes, but oh, yeah. Let's learn about me. Let's learn about my character.
Okay.
I am playing Felix Mac Macabre. He is an undead detective. He's not actually a zombie. He's something that is from the Deadlands setting called Harrowed. And he has been resurrected by a Manitou, which is sort of like a demon, god, spirit, fairy, whatever supernatural word you want to use to describe something from the Deadlands setting. He used to be a news reporter.
Ah.
And I think we'll learn a little bit more about him later on.
Haha. And then let's move right along. Our very special guest this week, a person pretty dear to both James and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Kat. Hi, James.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
We'll point out that Sam is being beamed into us from Israel.
What? The
yes.
Internet?
I'm a rabbinical student in the Holy City, which means that I'm just a lost little nerd that doesn't get to do his favorite things anymore. Instead, I get to learn some really interesting stuff that is really, really nerdy and only interesting to a select few people in this world.
a very yeah. select few people in this world. I believe they're the chosen people.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God damn it.
Sam just went away.
You went a Yahweh. Oh, there we go.
Sorry, you might even say a chosen few.
There we go!
Beautiful.
So,
good to have you back.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, let's learn a little bit about your character, Sam.
My character is Dr. Emil Candy. Dr. Emil is a Chicago coroner. he is a patent scientist, which is also an evolution of the Deadlands mythology. Back in the Weird West, there was mad science fueled by ghost rock, and just the cutting edge of technology included jetpacks and laser guns. Now we're far more civilized, and a scientist focuses on one or two small inventions in a desperate attempt to really, like, capture the zeitgeist of the age and, like, have the next great invention that'll, like, truly sweep everyone away.
To file a
much
patent.
More 1950s boxy, much less coils and Tesla.
Okay.
Dr. Emile has two patents under his belt. The first one is his patented grave gun, which puts people into the grave.
I think most guns do
bullets.
That.
Not
okay,
with
not with bullets.
Not with bullets.
Not with bullets. And the second is his synthetic synesthesia salve, which allows him to see things man was not meant to see.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Also, he's insane. He's insane, because that's part of being a mad scientist.
That is part of being a mad scientist. Mad's in the title.
It is. It is. We changed the title to Patent Science, but the mad part didn't go away.
We open the scene with the sun starting to come up over the lake. This is Chicago. It's got its beautiful, starting to become pretty familiar skyline. And it's similar to how we know it today. It's little things like Lakeshore Drive aren't really there. But otherwise, it's the town that we on the podcast are all kind of from. We zoom in on, gosh, what would that thing be called? A mortuary? Right? A mortuary.
Morgue?
Yeah.
A morgue. Thank you. My God. We zoom in on a morgue where a body has just been rolled in. And the camera pans up to the coroner on duty. And we see...
A tall man, perhaps 6'3", 6'4", almost utterly hairless. Not quite alopecia, but we're getting close. He has gigantic spectacles, a full-on white lab coat, underneath of which, of course, is a very nicely made suit for 1910, maybe, 13 years ago, but now is threadbare and rough. It's the middle of the Great Depression, and one can't just go around buying new suits on a mortician's salary.
Mm-hmm.
Long green gloves up to elbows, hands deep in the corpse. Okay, so doesn't feel wrong, which is a good stop. Oh, there's the hole. There's the hole.
There indeed
okay.
is the
that's
hole.
That's the problem. No one's recording this.
No
one's writing this down.
No
I'm
one...
alone in this room.
Just loudly talking. There is indeed a huge hole in this corpse. Do you want to... Well, we can give a very basic description from the top down, and then if you want to delve in further, we can. So it's a young woman with dark hair in a short little bob. And she has a huge hole in her chest where her heart should be. That's pretty much what's going on.
Usually, you usually need one of those to stay alive. Coroner's note. Probably died from heart loss. Or heartbreak.
Do you wanna give me any relevant roles, Sam?
Absolutely. I believe healing can be used as a mortician stat, Kat. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I got, between my wild die, me being a very, very wild kind of guy, and being a wild card, which means I can actually roll two dice when I roll things, and my D8 of smart, of healing, I got a full eight.
A full eight. That's enough to
a
let you...
eight.
To let you know, not only that the skin around the removed heart has been burned, but when she died sometime last night, the hole was formed by her burning out from the inside. That's a pretty unique,
oh, wow.
unique injury.
That is new to me, ladies and gentlemen. She seems to have lost her heart from the inside out with fire.
Okay, then we'll swipe.
I have no idea what that means.
Swipe cut. Uh-oh. Swipe cut. George Lucas in the house.
That's the most noir cut, right? The swipe, cut, traditionally. Over to an office.
Black.
Elsewhere in the city. The light coming in through the window is starting to change.
Yes, light pierces my Venetian blinds.
Thank you.
As I wake up to a smoke-filled office, I fell asleep at my desk again. No memories from it. I wonder where I go. I look around for my watch.
And you see the mirror. What do you look like?
I am a man who is incredibly pale. Who has a permanent 5 o'clock shadow on his face. At this point, he is afraid he only has so much longer for his hair to continue growing, and he doesn't know if he wants to go fully beardless for life or if he wants to hang on to the memory of being alive. He is a man about, I'm going to say 5'11". He claims that he used to be taller when he was alive, and something happened when he died. He has fairly handsome features. It's a little bit distracting how dehydrated his skin is. It doesn't move in the right way. There's a lot, like, if you look at him, he looks a lot like a photograph that's come to life. He has a very nice trench coat on that looks like it was bought sometime during the 1920s. It is it's from London. It was looks like it was bought by somebody who had a lot more money than the person who's wearing it now. That person has a ratty fedora and, I guess, hollow-looking eyes. He clearly has not had a good night. His hair is all askew. His fingers are stained from tobacco smoke. And he has several bottles of empty bottles of whiskey on his desk. Left in plain sight.
Very cool. That sounds like a pretty hard-boiled man to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's 9 o'clock. I overslept, and I slept at the office. Thinking of leaving the apartment altogether now, I don't think it has anything for me anymore.
There's a knock. Or you're at the apartment?
No, I'm at the office.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
I'm going to leave the apartment behind because there's nothing for me anymore.
Beautiful.
Please, try and pay attention.
You hear a knock.
Narrator.
You hear a knock at the door. There's a bit of an outline through the thing. It's a very curvy outline.
I straighten myself up. I try and put my hair into place just a little bit, and I just give up and throw my hat on and say, come in.
The door opens to reveal...
I open the door to find a beauty that you don't see in my neighborhood. She was tall, long and graceful, with legs that went all the way to the top. She had dark hair and dark eyes. Looked like the kind of woman who could cut you to pieces if she wanted to, and I'd let her. She walked into the office, her makeup streaming down her face in tears. She was someone I knew I could help.
Detective Macabre?
I am going to roll a notice about her to see if anything's askew. And do that, I roll just the skill, or do I roll the skill and the stat? Is it smarts and...
Oh, so you always... No, you roll whatever die is next to your skill, and then you roll a d6. You always roll a d6 for everything because you're a hero.
Oh, cool.
And if you beat the number that you're going for by 4, you get a raise.
Yeah, so what are you trying to notice right now?
I am just, I want to know if she has, like, she looks too well-dressed for the morning. It looks like she was just out.
Mm.
So I want to see how messed up her clothes are. I've got 7.
Okay. 7 is more than enough to see that you're right. This woman has been up for a long time. There, aside from the crying, there are bags under her eyes. There's just like, I guess motor oil at the bottom of her coat because she's been driving about. It doesn't look like she's really gotten any sleep the previous evening.
What's your name, dollface?
She looks over onto your mantle where you have a season's greetings card and grabs it. And on the back, there's a symbol that says Hall. And she says, I'm Lauren Hall. My husband's missing.
So do I know Hall? now as my, how do I know Hall?
The Hallmark company.
Of Hall and Mark.
No,
of
so Paul the Hallmark company is okay. Actually from the Dakotas, and it's just generations of people who came to the Midwest and started up some card shops. They're still called Hall stores. They haven't graduated to the name Hallmark yet. That's next year. But Hall cards are renowned for being of particularly high quality, and a Hallmark is a mark of quality.
So I already smelled money, but I was...
It's money, but it's also not... It's new money. You know, she's not...
New money is more money than I have.
New
money could be new money for me.
That is very true.
I already smelled money when she came in because she was so well-dressed. I knew she had money.
Also, she smells like money.
I knew she had money. I picked that up even with my dead nose. But now I believe there's something more to it. She's too well-dressed to be in this neighborhood just coming to me. Sure, if she expected her husband was cheating, I could follow her, make my bread and butter. But why would she come to me for a disappearance? Why aren't you going to the cops, Dollface? This town runs on money like yours.
This town is in the pocketbook of some very scary people right now, and I don't think they have any interest in finding my husband.
I open one of the bottles of whiskey, and I pour two glasses of it, and I slide one over towards her. What did a greeting card man do to stir up that hornet's nest, huh?
She looks up somewhat shocked. No, that's not what I meant. He's just... I don't think he's involved with any of that. I just don't know where he is, and I think something terrible's happened to him.
You're hiding something from me. Either he's involved, and you have either he's not involved, and you got nothing to worry about, or you're coming to me because you can't go to the cops.
He's not involved, but
what did you do?
No, the trading card game isn't. We aren't the only people in it anymore, and
it's not magical.
Some people. Use their businesses as fronts for some people who are involved with that sort of thing, and we do very well. We're clean, I swear.
And so did your husband have contact with any of these people? Did they come in and threaten him?
Did
you hear anything?
Yes, we have a very tense relationship. You know of our store, it's on Michigan Avenue, and the
yeah,
American,
I've walked by.
The people across the street they're trying to take over the block.
So they just want to buy out your real estate. They don't care about cards?
No.
Do you pay your protection money?
No, we are an honest operation, and up to the present, we've never had any cause to.
Well, there's your mistake. Did someone come in asking for protection money?
I don't do those. I don't interact with
You don't handle the business affairs?
No.
You never heard your husband arguing with anyone?
My husband is a good man. And... He wouldn't do anything to put us or the company in danger.
I understand. You're going through a hard time right now, but I need you to focus and be objective. Your husband is surrounded by dangerous people. If one of them took an interest in him, whether he was innocent or not, he's going to have to deal with them. Now, these people could have come in and asked him for money. You understand?
Of course.
And if he is an honest man and he refused... Then we might have something to go on. I need you to be honest and forthcoming with any information that might lead to your husband's whereabouts. Do you understand?
Well, of course I do. And that's exactly why I'm coming to you. I don't have all of the facts. I just know that those people across the street at the Rose Building, they've been coming by a lot recently. I think something's going wrong.
When's the last time you saw your husband?
2 days ago.
2 days ago? And you just waited until today to talk to me?
No, I had to find someone who was honest.
That can be difficult enough in this town. Honest people don't have any money, though. I'm afraid I have a per diem, but I will be able to help you.
I'll cover that and expenses. Please.
Don't worry, Dollface. I'll fix everything. So I start straightening some files and looking up leads. The first thing I do is I go to my contact in the city morgue because he would know all of the dead people that would go in and out. And if this man is dead and has been recovered, he would know about it. So I'm going to head off to my good friend. I'm trying to read his name again.
Oh, Emil Candy.
Dr. Emil Candy. He's not your usual sort of man. He's what some people would call a bit eccentric, but he reflects the American spirit in that he's always trying to innovate, just in ways that most people wouldn't approve of. I walk in past his secretary and give her a nod and a wink, and I move on before she can protest. I'm not supposed to be in the building. Usually when people like me check in, they don't come out walking.
What's your character's name again, James?
I'm Felix Mac Macabre. You'd call me Mac.
Thank you. Mac, you know you're not supposed to be in the building.
Candy, I need your help.
The little secretary, Mac, the little woman in the front comes over and she's like, you know, he's not supposed to be in the building.
Don't worry about it, sweetheart.
Lisa, I know he's not supposed to be in the building.
Do you want me to go get someone?
No, I want you. Look where my hands are, Lisa.
Oh, God. Okay. Ooh, just, And she closes the door, and you can see her walking over to a trash can. This was not a woman that was meant to work in a morgue.
Lisa's a good kid. We gotta find her a better job.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with working in the morgue. I don't quite understand why people don't work in the morgue.
You know, I am closer to dead people than most people, and I'm going to say there's definitely something wrong with working in the morgue.
You have a lot of irony, sir, you being a dead people. But give me one. Okay, got it. Sorry.
Ugh,
pulls out his hand. There's a cigarette on the other end that he just extracted from the corpse's chest.
Oh, God.
Very sorry about that.
You don't want to wash your hands?
Last cigarette.
Does the city know you do that?
Do that.
What's
he
wrong?
He lights up. Oh,
what happened
God.
To
Mac,
this? What happened
Mac,
to this
don't
girl?
Don't tell me that you're buying into this whole dead things are unclean thing. It's all just a big conspiracy.
A conspiracy that spanned the entirety of human history.
That's the biggest conspiracy.
What happened to this girl? Looks like you made her into an ashtray. Does the city know you're doing that?
Actually, with this one, she died of a broken heart. A broken heart that lit on fire.
Give me a streetwise.
Came out of her chest.
Okay, streetwise. That doesn't appear to be a skill. Would it be a notice? Would it? Oh, there it is.
Under smart. Streetwise.
Oh, that's right. They go alphabetically, but they go off. That's a 4.
I got a 6.
Okay. I guess then, as a 6, you looking at her, she looks fairly Greek, or at least Mediterranean. What limited things you know about the outfit right now, they're trying to take over Greek town. So it's not totally uncommon for a young Greek woman to wind up dead. You're used to a lot of unnamed people showing up.
Yeah, but people killing folks wouldn't normally use magic. That's clearly what's going on
here. If you think that's what's going on.
I've already leapt to that conclusion. I filed away.
I'm sorry, are you... You've been staring at the dead girl on the table for like 5 solid seconds.
I was thinking about it. It's another case. Right now I've got something for you. I need to know if any man named Hall came in.
Hanukkah to you too.
You know I don't celebrate holidays.
It is now the second day of Hanukkah, December 20th.
Let me find something. Do you have an extra bedpan that you wanted?
I don't need a bedpan. You know what would be a Hanukkah gift to me?
If we
got to business. If we just... I came in here.
Oh.
And we talked about the dead person that I want to talk about for once, instead of the dead person that you always want to talk about.
All you had to do was say, let's talk about the dead person I want to talk about.
All right.
That's my favorite subject.
Let's talk about the possibly dead individual that I want to talk about.
Sure.
Did a man with the last name Mark come in through here?
Hall. Last name Hall.
Hall. Excuse me. Man with
did
the last
name. Mark Hall come through here? Let me check. Lisa.
I'm looking for a man with the last name of Hall. He was probably well-dressed, maybe in clothes that had been a bit tattered, but they were new.
okay, once again, Lisa.
He's actually calling for Lisa, I think.
I think he is. But you hear a persistent bleh, bleh, from behind a desk.
Secretaries. I go over to the card filing catalog of dead people.
Okay.
Do you have those in the morgue? I don't know.
Well, sure.
Mark Hall, you said.
They're,
I start flipping through.
Actually, just who came in within the last few days? Any male victims?
Who didn't come in within the last few days?
And that's probably
Let
fair.
Let me tell you.
I mean,
live people.
Candy has a grim sense of humor.
I know that I am deeply discomforting to many people.
So I probably would have gotten some details like age, weight, height, and I give him that profile.
Would you have?
Yeah, that's just boring. We don't go through my how tall was your husband? How much did your husband weigh?
Okay, fine. You got it from her.
What kind of shoes does he wear?
Okay, then you have a vague description. So I'm going to have you describe him. So
he is a handsome man with a strong jaw, probably in his early 40s. Or definitely in his early... I know his age. She gave me his age. I forgot his age. But to you, if there was a corpse that looked like it might have been 40 years old before it died... He has a, he's got no widow's peak, and he was probably wearing an expensive cologne. His fingers would probably
be... Does he have sad gray eyes?
Well, most of the people here would have sad gray eyes as they're dead.
That's fair, but did he have sad gray eyes?
Soulful, really.
He definitely had something behind those gray eyes.
Was he Humphrey Bogart?
He looked like Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, no. I haven't seen anyone like that.
Has he seen anyone like that?
He hasn't seen anyone like that.
Right.
He'd have been like, whoa, this guy looks exactly like Humphrey Bogart.
Is Humphrey Bogart a thing?
No, Humphrey Bogart's not a thing.
Exactly did right. I see did Lauren Bacall walk into my office and I did nothing about it,
it's
basically?
1928.
That's what I was going to say, though, was if Humphrey Bogart is, like, on my slab, I'm really hoping that Lauren Call comes right afterwards.
Yeah, 1928.
No Humphrey Bogart.
No Lauren Bacall.
Certainly not
just
anymore.
People who look a lot like them.
Okay.
No, I've not seen that particular person.
Well, he's not dead. Looks like now I've got a...
Most of the people I've seen... are Greek.
Really?
But they might not be. It's all Greek to me.
So then he pauses and looks around, puts his hands up a little at you.
I'm not applauding.
Let's see. So other things that you wanted to accomplish in this scene, Sam, you said you wanted to roll an occult roll?
Mm-hmm.
I do want to roll an occult roll.
And
mostly because I've just finished with this poor girl who's had her heart burnt out of her chest.
Sure. So what do you want to know about it? Because you got a 7.
Okay. I would like to identify either a type of monster that could do this or some kind of weird thing that happens. Most people in Deadlands Noir aren't aware of the supernatural, but myself being a weird scientist and friends with a walking corpse who I did the autopsy for before he came back to life, I'm a little bit more aware that things are not what they seem.
Yeah, you guys tend to, the cases that you take nowadays tend to veer towards the occult.
They always start
oddly.
In a really normal place.
They do. They start in a really normal place, and there's sometimes you get two different cases, and they both seem pretty normal,
and then
they become the same case. And it's magical now.
That's doesn't happen.
I hope that doesn't happen today. Or over the next 7 days.
Uh-oh.
It being Hanukkah.
Give him the information from his roll.
So the information from your roll, there is, within the city, a spirit. They're not quite strong enough to really call them Manitou, that are called... Firebugs. These are little, most invisible to most people, roaches that can get up to around the size of a small dog. And, but they tend to focus themselves in areas like Starved Rock or, where there's been problems with fire in the city previously. Chicago's a city that historically has some of those issues. But you've never really encountered, if they bother interacting with a person, it tends to, they just immolate the whole person.
It's so not targeted.
It tends not to really be targeted. It would be weird for just, for instance, one person to be dead, and also for the whole body to not be burned to a crisp.
This is very strange.
The only fire magic that he's aware of. Okay. I am going to roll a notice check.
He also knows that some people can do fire magic.
So he's narrowed it down to probably not a creature, probably people.
Yeah.
With that roll.
Okay. Well, it's whatever he decides
fire magic
he's come up with
or
for him.
A fire bug.
Okay. I want to do a notice roll on this woman. She still has her clothes on, or has she been stripped completely for the autopsy?
She's been stripped for the autopsy.
Okay. I still want to see if it looks like she had been running or in some sort of struggle before it happened, or if this was out of the blue. And I roll an 8 on my dice, and I get +2 to notice for my cat eyes, so that is a 10.
Yes, so, you can tell that this looks pretty unexpected. She doesn't seem to have really been in a struggle. Her feet are dirty. But aside from her feet being dirty,
which could be anything, really.
That's she looks A-okay.
Interesting.
I guess that's a high roll.
Those filthy feet.
What did the police say when they rolled her in?
Rolled
her in?
They said, "We got a weird one for you, Emil."
All right.
Well, you know. Takes one, knows one.
The report was that she was found in the loop, that she was just on the street, laying in the middle of the street.
All right, that was definitely to send a message to somebody. Okay, I think I have all the information that I can get from here, and now I have to go around and talk to the people in shops.
I want to come with you on this one.
Well, actually, quick question. Is the Hallmark store that's in the loop, right?
So, yeah, let's discuss what that looks like. So it's on Michigan Avenue, which is the shopping
loop.
District, belongs to a bunch of rich people. If you've been by it before, it's actually not that big a shop. It's clear that it costs a lot of money to have a shop on Michigan Avenue to start.
Oh, yeah. So these guys are doing very well.
They're doing very well, but the storefront's also pretty small, and they own the apartment above it sort of situation. That's how they're doing things. And then across the street, what they're calling the Rose Building, it's owned by the Rose family, who's decided that they want to get on board the greeting card train.
Okay, well, what do I know about the
American
Roses?
Greetings. The Roses are old Chicago money. You give me a streetwise.
6.
Okay, 6. They're in bed with the Outfit. There are two major crime organizations in the city at the moment, one run by a guy named Al Capone and one by a guy named Bugs Moran. The Outfit is Capone's group.
Okay. Candy, it looks like...
So let's go shopping.
Yeah, let's do that.
Give me a minute.
Yeah, you might want to get cleaned
gloves.
Up.
Gloves off, trench coat thingy on, small hat, more like a small skull cap kind of hat.
Oh, really?
Than any other kind of hat.
Oh, I believe that's pronounced a yarmulkel.
A yarmulkel is the appropriate way to pronounce that hat. I go over to my locker. Open up the freezer, wheel the dead girl into the freezer, get the gun out of my locker, not necessarily in that order. It might be a little funky with the gun in one hand and the gurney in the other. Okay, shopping. I love their car, especially like the keep your chin up one, that's my favorite.
Of course, you only read the condolences Mondays. Cards. Let's get an establishing shot of Michigan Avenue. There's a lot of busy shoppers, right?
So that's exactly what's going on. Michigan Avenue right now, it's not as packed with cars as it might be today. But it is packed with people, because it is December 20th and, there's a lot of shopping that needs to be done. Christmas trees are all about the place, and there are garlands and lights. And it's really quite a sight. There are many hansom cabs roving by with happy families. The whole place
a hansom cab.
Just looks, bustling and festive.
Who dies before Christmas? It's a terrible time to die.
Inconsiderate people.
All right. I want to locate the Hallmark store. Is it open?
So, it's open.
Okay. I walk in with candy, and I'm looking for employees. Just a general notice roll. I want to see who looks like the most senior employee, who might have been in at least a little bit on the books. That's another 10.
Sure.
Or do they all look like peons? They could also do that too, I guess.
So, you notice that there are many, as you would say, peons. They're kind of younger kids, talking to people and explaining this newfangled wrapping paper thing to folks. And
so, wait, I buy paper to just throw it away?
Well, sort of, but really the joy.
Do I look like I'm made of money? It's the Depression.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Oh, I'm made of money.
which is why you should probably wrap up the stuff that you're going to give to somebody in this. It has a polar bear on it.
What?
So there's no one who actually looks all that senior, but behind the main cash register, reading a big textbook, there's a young girl in her...
She was a mousy-looking girl, brunette.
Around 19. Keep going.
Around the age of 19, she looked like she's reading a textbook, probably a student. She had big, thick glasses on, which she hid behind it, a bunch of freckles that could shoot you right down if they wanted to. God damn it!
Sam!
Before I do this description again, we want to point out that Sam used his synthetic synesthesia self.
I'll give a description, but you need to draw a card for me, Kat. As Emil and Mac walk into the shop, Mac knows how this goes down. They've done this many, many times. Emil plays tough guy and is completely ignored because he's very awkward and tall and bald. And Mac plays both tough guy and nice guy all at once, that weird charm of his.
Mm-hmm. So that dead guy charm.
He's standing there really frustrated in the background, rubbing his salve all over his head while just staring at the person. Well, knowing thoughts, men are not meant to know.
Fascinating. So, I would have figured that you would have been putting it on people, but I like you just rubbing it on your bald head. That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
So what happens this time is we see the beautiful shop girl, who's clearly a beauty, even though she's just wearing glasses and like has her hair in a ponytail.
Have we described her?
Yeah,
or did that
I did
get
describe
ruined?
It. That didn't get ruined.
Okay.
Sam just didn't hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
She looks like Lauren Bacall's kid sister.
Yeah, exactly. Beauty. So he starts rubbing his head and, it doesn't work this time. Like, the salve is just, like, getting kind of goopy. And he pulls his hand away, and his hands are glowing bright green.
Oh,
and as he turns around and looks...
Oh, this isn't a good batch!
Turns around, glowing green hands, turns around, sees a conveniently placed mirror, and his head is now covered in bright green glowing handprints.
That's one of the shop boys has just been staring at you with his mouth agape.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just sits there and stares as the machine activates and begins to broadcast his thoughts to everyone in sight.
Oh, no!
So we'll
as the green glow fades.
So we'll handle this throughout the scene with you interjecting with your thoughts. That sounds okay.
And just for the listeners' benefit, the reaction of just about everyone in the store, because I don't know if you've gotten this impression. These two are aware of the supernatural, but most people in the world aren't, really have no idea that things exist. So they're hearing thoughts being projected into their heads without any apparent cause. So you can imagine the looks of utter confusion. Let's see how long this scene lasts and whether or not that becomes a problem.
Afternoon, darling. Mac grabs a card from the shelf closest to the register and puts it on the table without looking at it. Got some questions for you.
God, that was a tacky move.
I'm trying to decide what's the most inappropriate card type we would have had in 1928.
Right by the front of the
Right by register. The front. Yeah, what would be there? Because probably it's a Christmas card, but let's say it's not a Christmas card. What do you guys think it is?
Oh, God, I don't know what an inappropriate card type is. Come join the Socialist Party.
I think it is a Christmas card, but a deeply unfortunate Christmas card.
Right.
Like, a nativity scene with deeply, deeply offensive-looking caricatures of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Yeah, and like, on the inside it says, the spirit of Noel with you all. As Noel.
Noel
is spelled G-N-O-L-L.
She closes her book and looks at the card and then looks up at you smilingly. That one's a discount.
Great. That's what I can afford.
So she gives you the figure that is monetarily appropriate.
So I'm going to say it's
Oh my God,
a cent.
How is he going to afford that? That's so much for a piece of shit.
Her eyes shift around.
She looks
a little creeped out.
I try and hold her attention. I smile and put two pennies on the table. It's twice the price of the product. Just keep the change.
You can hear me. Don't think.
The cost is only one. We don't accept tips, sir. Thank you, though.
I'm looking for somebody. When's the last time your boss came in? When's the last time your boss came to work?
Mr.
Hall.
Oh, are you... She looks you up and down. Lauren told me you'd be by.
That's great. Can you go on break?
Oh, damn it, we're made.
I'm sorry.
Something tells me that we need to have this conversation.
Can you hear that?
Hear what?
Oh, no. Shh. Stop thinking.
I'm going to try and maintain my cool.
She looks a little weirded out.
I roll...
Yeah, you're going to have to do something.
I roll a d6 for persuasion. And be like, I don't hear anything at all. I roll
one.
Don't
try the sexy voice.
There's nothing going on. Shut up. Nothing going on at all.
I'm not sure I should go with you.
No, I'm
She's starting
normal.
To look
normal
over
than fine.
To one of the shop boys who's starting to move towards you.
Deep breath. Okay, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? Attention, everyone. This has been a test of the emergency broadcast. Nothing is wrong.
Roll a bluff.
Roll a perception. Or is there a bluff?
And then I run. I run out of the store. <Yeah. laughs>
Okay. I don't know. I feel like if this were a different system, she'd be taking sanity damage at the moment.
But it's not.
It is not.
Everybody could take fear, though. Could have to make a fear check.
That's a really good point. I think that's probably what goes down at the moment.
God damn it. We're losing the metagame right here.
I'm sorry. So, everyone outside on the street is so freaked out.
Yeah. How long does your synesthesia salve last?
Not that long, actually, thankfully.
Well, define not that long.
It lasts long enough for me to make an opposed smarts roll with someone and read their mind.
Right. So, typically, like,
so one,
10 minutes.
One round.
One round.
So, really more like 10 seconds.
Oh, okay.
But
Okay. Yeah. No, just for the scene. So you run outside, and all of the people around you sort of stop and look really freaked
jingle
out for
bells,
a few seconds.
Jingle bells.
If you want to fade that out.
Bells.
I like that. That's a great way for him to cover, actually, is now they just think they have jingle
they
bells.
They just have
stuck
jingle
in their
bells
head.
Stuck in their head. Everyone around you looks a little miffed and keeps on with their holiday shopping. Back inside the store, though, all of the customers look visibly shaken.
Maybe it's a good time for everyone to go on break.
All right. Hold on a second. She disappears into the back and calls over one of the guys, and they talk. And she comes up to you. Jeremy's going to take the register. Let's just go over there. And she goes, nudges towards the window so that he'll have a clear view of her.
That's fine. I'm going to be straight with you because we don't have the time for you to lie to me. Do you understand?
Why would I lie to you?
I don't know, but I feel like not everyone's being completely honest with me. Now, you know a lot about the business, right?
Well, not so much. I don't spend a lot of time
here. Who does he
work
with? Does he do the books by himself?
Yeah.
He does everything by himself. Do you usually close with him, or does he close by himself?
I don't work here, typically.
You're just holiday.
Here for the holidays.
Who's his number two?
His number two is Frederick, and he's back home for the holidays as well. I've been covering a lot of his responsibilities. We might look pretty well off, but we do most things by ourselves here. It's a small family operation.
I see a lot of shop boys running around here.
Well, you see three shop boys running around.
Three employees is a lot.
The holiday season's our biggest time.
All right. Have you noticed any unusual people coming through here maybe more than once a week?
You're talking
more than
about
is normal.
The roses. Okay. So I guess Mr. Hall has been talking to some of the representatives of the roses over the past couple of days, but he tends to take them to the back, and I really don't know what's going on. I do know, though, that they're trying to buy out the block, so I imagine that it has something to do about that.
You've ever heard any shouting? Has he come out looking worried or just upset?
He looks upset all the time. So he looks upset, yes.
All right. And nobody's talked to you since he has been missing?
No, no one's come by. I imagine, though, that they're pretty busy themselves. Christmas is in, God, what is it, the 20th? It's in 5 days. Mm-hmm.
How long has your sister been upset? Was she upset just after the disappearance, or did she seem to know about this?
They're pretty close. She had no idea. He seemed to, as soon as he was gone, as soon as he didn't show up for dinner, she was worried. And then, oh God, it's terrible. She spent a long time trying to find you. She was looking for, an honest detective, and, she heard that you used to be a good man for a newspaper and that you left.
That's right. Where'd she learn that?
Her friend over at the, at that club, the Dill Pickle Club.
Of course, he gave her your info. Running his mouth. All right, that makes sense. Is there anything else that you can give me to go on? I don't want you to put yourself in danger, but I need to know everything.
Are we in danger? I've never felt particularly in danger.
Somebody who is very close to your family disappeared because you have something that is valuable that somebody else wants. If you're not thinking that you're in danger, you're in danger. Just be aware, be sharp, and be smart.
Okay, thank you. I'll keep an eye out. I'll let you know if I see anything.
Thank you. All right, with that, I'm going to head out. Now I need to... I think I go to Emil.
How you doing, Emil?
I'm great. I'm sitting out on the street trying really, really hard not to think about anything, which is the hardest thing.
Because you're staring
in the world
right at the entrance of it's not Macy's yet. What is it? and dub you in, so make you seem all smart.
No.
So the moment I realized that jingle bells, I don't know the words to jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells, has stopped making people creep the hell out.
I think Bloomingdale's.
I'm gonna start a small piece of investigation of my own. I might be a creepy mortician, but I'm actually a pretty good detective. So I'm going to make an investigation roll myself.
Okay.
And just to take a look around the neighborhood to see if we're being watched in any way. And I got a 7 on that.
A 7.
So
no, yeah. that's really good. So you're pretty confident that you're not being watched.
Pretty confident we're not being watched. I say out loud to absolutely nobody.
Well, if we weren't before, we are now.
As you are joined by your companion.
Mac, what did you find out from that fetching shop girl?
Well, I found out that the wife's probably being honest with me. That girl,
I don't understand.
Clever as she is, probably isn't a liar. I think this family is genuinely concerned about their missing husband. There's no inheritance in this. This appears to me, so far, to be a purely honest case.
which to most detectives isn't really a thing you need. You usually have to work to find out the other end of this.
Nope, I have to start suspecting.
First.
Right.
Nope.
Considering the last 3 times.
Right. I've ended with a different stabbings.
Woman looks just like Lauren Hall walked into your office. It was always a setup.
Yeah.
4th time's the winner.
I can't, as far as I'm concerned, I know I'm dead, but I don't think I can afford to be shot in the back again. Also, why do they bring me in if they're just going to shoot me in the back? It makes no sense.
Every time.
I've never been able to figure it out, but I'm glad they're shooting you.
So it's starting
because you're dead.
It's taken you guys a little while to travel around places. So you started fairly early when the sun was just coming up, and it is now like 1.
All right. Well, we're in the afternoon. We're probably at the lunch break over at the Trip. What I want to do is head over there to one of my old contacts. I want to dig up some information about these Rose people.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it for today's episode, heroes. We should be releasing a continuation in this series on Thursday, barring any unforeseen technical glitches. Remember, if you enjoy the show, please like us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, respectively. I'd like to give a big, sincere thanks to Robbie Acuff, USS Funtime, Roleplaying Fan, Mom is the Best, and of course, Poopy Butt 3 for leaving us ratings already. If you want to ask me a question about either One Shot or Critical Success, send me an email at jamesdamatoismagic@gmail.com. Really, if you have any question about any RPG in general, I'm happy to answer. And here's a new thing, if you have an RPG-related comic, Kickstarter, or what have you, send me an email about it, and maybe I'll mention it on the show if you give me a mention on your Twitter feed. This is a Peaches and Hot Sauce presentation. Peaches and Hot Sauce is a Chicago-based comedy network. We have tons of great podcasts, articles, and videos for you to enjoy at peachesandhotsauce.com. Finally, that music you hear swelling up over my voice is Be Your Own Pet with Adventure. See you next time, heroes!